Shavuato World. Today's daf in Mesechet Sanhedrin brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh is daf Samach Zayin, and we continue in our analysis of all of the Niskolim. So we went through the first of the Niskolim so far, and that brought us to through the Avodah Zarah and through the Mikadevs and through the Naira Murasas, Kibbutz Av Ha'Eim and Chilul Shabbos. And now we're up to the next one in the Mishnah, which was HaMesit. So what is exactly? We have the HaMesit, we have the Media. So the Mesit refers specifically to a Hedyot, which means that this guy is not a Navi, he's just a normal person. But the Mashmaut would be that if he would be like a Navi who claims that God has sent me to tell you to worship whatever this thing is, then he would not be included in the Dinim of Skila. And that's what we're going to be talking about in the Gemara, according to whom that would be true, and HaMesit et HaHedyot. And furthermore, when it says Mesit, it means here someone who was not a Navi, and he was Mesit, a Hedyot, in this case, means an individual. It doesn't mean a non-Navi, because there's absolutely no difference that we see anywhere in the Torah between the object of the Hasata being a Navi or not. We do know that there's, of course, a parsha of a Navi that is claiming to speak in the name of Hashem and tells you to do Avodah Zarah. That's a whole parsha. So that, we can say, the Hedyot refers to a non-Navi. We can't say the object is a Navi, because what is a non-Navi, because what difference would it make? So here it just means et hedyot, an individual. That's how we understand it. The Gemara will go into who this Tana is and why he would say that if somebody is mesit, not an individual, but a group of people, that then he would not be chayev a skila, he would be chayev instead, just stamisa, which would be a chenek here. And what exactly does he say? Omar. Now, we've seen this all before. Yeshira, b'makom ploni, oh man, there's this incredible Avodah Zarah in such a location. Kach ochelet, kach shota, kach metiva, kach miriya. You remember we had all of this discussion before in terms of the level of impact that extra words have on people and the way it sort of takes over their brain. They're more likely to believe it and so on. And that's what we mean when we talk about the type of things that a mesit would say. There's one thing that the Mesit actually is totally different from all other Chayvei Mises, whether we're talking about Skila or anything else. And that is, remember that we have our Pusik that says, Yitzila Ha'ida. We're always interested in saving the guy's life. So whatever tzad we could say, maybe he didn't, you know, maybe he wasn't completely Mesit, there was no Hasra. When any of that comes to a Mesit, it's all butter. You're not supposed to be melamed alav zechut. It's an iser to be melamed alav zechut. He doesn't need official hatra'ah. He doesn't have to be matir atzmo lamisa. Not only that, we'll even try to entrap him, as we're going to see. So other chayvei bitur, we will not try to entrap him and place Adam there to catch him. Ein machminin alehim chutz bizu. This is the only case we have like this. So if a mesit would say to two people, they don't have to give them asra, they become his edim, and they can be mevinoto lebetin on the spot v'soklinoto. But suppose there's only one person. Now, one person, he can't be made in bezin, obviously. So amar leachad. So he should try to get this guy to implicate himself by getting him to say it in front of Adim. So he should say to him, you know, I've got friends that would be very interested in joining us. Would you be willing to talk to a group of people? Now, if this guy was smart, obviously he'll say no. So Imayah Rom, the Eno Yochol Adabra, the Flemi claims he can't speak to anyone. He's too nervous about it getting out. So then, Machminin lo Adim Achorei Agader. So we hide out these witnesses, and they're like behind a fence, and he doesn't know that they're there. And so then the original victim says to him, okay, look, nobody's here now. Maybe you can expand on what you told me and explain it. We're all alone. So Amor Marsha Amarta Biyichud. Now this thing Biyichud is a fascinating word. It's a very confusing, because remember the Rambam uses this idea that kachayu gedolei chachamim, they're tell over their top talmidim b'yichud, this idea of in various places we find this word b'yichud, which seems to mean in those cases that you keep it specifically for them, you keep it private. So b'yichud would mean privately. But in other places we find the word b'yichud means to fully explained, which is how the Rashash understands it over here, which is not the Pashtus of the Sugya. But in any event, certainly it would mean you don't have to worry about it. Nobody else is here. Okay, so he says it over to him. And then in lieu of actual hatra'ah, the victim, the nidach, says to the guy who's trying to be midiachim, he says to them, well, hech naniach es Eloheinu shebashamayim, v'nelech v'na'avod etzim v'avanim. This sounds crazy. I mean, why would we forsake HaKadosh Baruch Hu for wood and junk? So im chozer bo, okay, if the guy pulls back, so then you're not b'chayiv him, obviously. But if he says, and this is the clear indication that he knows very well what he's doing, and he says, on the contrary, kach yichovatenu, kach yofalono, this is exactly what we need to do. So then the hidden edim, omdim yachri agader, meini inoto lebeitin, and they get him stoned. Okay, so therefore, in this case, we would want to make sure that he actually completely means what he's saying. Omer Avot. So now, if he says to this guy, listen, I'm going out to be over this Avodah Zorah, you know, I think it's a great idea. Or he says, I'm going to be going, Elik V'Avot. Or he says, let's go out together and do this. So he should obviously, I mean, as the Rambam expands on this, doesn't mean that's all he says. He says, I think this is good and you should join me. And therefore, saying any of these things, you don't have to say that whole cup could think up front, this is the way it's eichel, the shayis, and so on. Ha'emer, e'evod, e'lech ve'evod, ne'lech ve'na'avod, or if he uses any of the arba avodes and he specifies them, he says, I'm going to go slaughter this animal for the avodah zorah, or I'm going to do it, or let's do it together, or aktir, I'm going to bring it on a mizbeach, elech ve'aktir, nelech ve'aktir, just like any level of commitment in which he says to the other person, and it would be a good idea for you to join me, and anaseich, elech v'anaseich, or he's talking about pouring out yayin, or we said before, nisach includes zrikas adam, Elech v'nasech, nelech v'nasech, eshtachaveh, also, you should come along, elech v'eshtachaveh, not right now, but I'm going to be doing this, nelech v'eshtachaveh. In all such cases, he would be chayev. So the important thing is that what it is that you're being chayev the other person to do is one of the things that you're chayev on Avodah Zorah for doing. And obviously, if you say, let's go kiss the Avodah Zorah, I mean, then that's not going to be chayev, because that itself is not a chiyuv of avodah zorah. Okay. Says the Gemara, when you say that hameisit zeh hedyot, so you're saying that it has to be someone who's not a navi, right? Which implies that it's only because he's a hedyot that he's chayev skila. But if he were actually a navi, he would not be chayev skila, and he would only be chayev this misa stam, which is bechenek. And then you say, Hamesit et hedyot, which we understood not to mean hedyot as opposed to a navi, because that wouldn't make any sense. What difference would it make? We're just using an individual is what it means over here, one person. So it's mesit yochid. So you're telling me it's only because he's only being mesit yochid. But if he were being mesit a whole tzibur, this is referring to hadocha, where you've got whatever size the city is, so he's trying to talk the city into doing Avodah Zorah as an Irani Dachat. So then the mashmaut is that you don't have the case in the Mishnah, which is Chayev Skila, and then you would be left only Bechenek. Now, whose shita is that? Masisimani. Well, that shita is true, both of those points, that it cannot be a Novi, and if it were, it would only be Chenek, and it cannot be an attempt to be Mediach in the ear, and if it were, it would only be Bechenek. That goes Aliba de Rabbi Shimon. Where do we see this? Take a look at this Braita, and you will see. D'tanya, Novi Shehidiach B'Skila, the Tanakama says, if a Novi comes along and he utilizes his exalted position of being a Novi, and he is Mediach people, to try to be Mediach, to be over the Avodah Zorah, he also is Chayav Skila. But Rabbi Shimon says, no, he's not. If he's a Novi, then he's Chayav Chenek. And they will see the basis of these machlokas as we go. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Bechenek. And the other thing is, as far as who are they trying to be Mediach? So who are the victims? So Medichei Ir Hanidachat is Beskila. According to Tanakama, even if they are working on a whole city, they would be Chayav Skila, in which case the Mishnah's opening wouldn't make any sense, because why would it have to be a Mesit Davka of a Yochid? Why would it say of a Hedyot, meaning a Yochid? Well, that's Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon indeed holds that if they're Mediach a city, so then they're only Chayev Chenek. Okay, now the Gemara later on is going to be working out the Psukim according to both of these Shitas. Where does the Chachomim derive it from, and where does Rabbi Shimon derive it from? So, okay, I mean, normally the Lashon of Hadocha versus Hasata, so that's because simply that's the way that the Torah usually refers to it. So we have the Kiyasitcha Achicha, and then we always use the word nidachat when it comes to the city or other cases in which it's talking about. They'll use the words hadacha. So therefore, we're talking about irha nidachat specifically. Anyway, but there's a problem over here, because you're saying that our Mishnah only works out of Liba the Rabbi Shimon, and yet the very next Mishnah, which is a really continuation of this Mishnah, it's Sefer this Mishnah, and it says the opposite. Ema Sefer, Hamidiach. So here we're talking about someone who is Mediach, a city. So over there, you're only Chayav Skila. In what case? Zeh HaOmer, Nelech V'Na'avod Avodat Kochavim. Huh? And as Rav Yehuda Rav points out, when it says Mediach here, they're talking about Mediach, literally. It's talking about the Hadocha, Medichei Ir, Hanidachat Shanukan. So apparently, according to this, the Chiyuv of Skila would include even somebody who talks to a city and is being Mesit the city. But that's only true according to Rabbanan. We just had before in the Braita the machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon, and it was only the Rabbanan who said that if it's a Rabbim, you would also be Chayev. Rabbi Shimon says, no, if you're trying to be Mesita Rabbim, so then you would be Chayev Chenek. You would not be Chayev Skila. So how do you explain that? The Reisha of the Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon, and the Seifa changes and it goes out, Libet HaChachomim? Say Ravina, no, basically, the whole Mishnah is the Rabbanan. These are not arguments. This is, we start off easy. So the Reish is talking about, look, in a case, there's a case where everyone would be Moda. So the simple case would be a Mediach who is a Hedyet, who, Mesit, we call it there, a Mesit who is a Hedyet, who is Mesit, a Hedyet, an individual. That's the simple case. Now, this Mishnah says, and not only that, Lozu, but Afzu, it would also be true if he tried to be Mesid an entire city. And therefore, it's not that there's a different Tana. It's that first we say the simplest Aloch, and then we say the more complex, which is basically a way that a Mishnah often is constructed, to say Lozu, Afzu. Rav Papa says, as far as the first thing, this is all very nice, Ravina, but he was only addressing the question of, remember, there were two different questions. Rabbi Shimon said two things. First of all, Rabbi Shimon said that it can't be a Navi. And secondly, Rabbi Shimon says it can't be a Rabbi. So, okay, Ravina was addressing the question of it can't be a Rabbi. He was saying, okay, so the Mishnah never meant to say it can't be a Rabbi. It was only saying one case, and then it's going to expand on it. Rav Papa is coming to address the other issue. And the other issue was that if this is not going Aliba to Rabbi Shimon, so then why does it say a Mesid is a Hedyot? So that Rifapa comes to answer. He's not arguing in Ravina, they're just addressing different parts of the question, right? There were two parts. So Rifapa says, you know what it means when it says Mesid is a Hedyot? It doesn't mean as opposed to a non-Hedyot. It means the Mesid is a total ass, and therefore he deserves the way we treat him. That's all he's saying. There's like nobody's so low. That's why Machminim lo, and that's why he doesn't need Hasra, and that's why he's treated differently. It's just an introduction to the next part of the Mishnah that says that all other Chayvei Misas we treat as if his life means something to us. This guy, his life means nothing to us. It's like a Hedyot. That's what it's saying. So that answers the other questions. That's in terms of the Achmanu. Why do we not care and we try to get him knocked off? Because he's a Hedyot. That's the whole point. The Tanya. And the Braita explains a little bit of another case in which we do this Achmanu. So what's this Achmanu? Shar kochavi mitz shibatera ein machminin aleihem. But this guy, chutz mizeh. So that's why he calls him a Hedyot. Ketzer osim lo. So it gives another example. Let's say, you want the guy to repeat in front of witnesses that he doesn't know are present. So what you do is you invite him over at night. Of course, they didn't have much light at night. So you light some candles in the living room, you know, and the Adim are in an adjacent bedroom, which is dark and you can't see anything there. So he doesn't know anybody's in there. And Mershivan lo Adim bebayit achitzon, kidei shiu hein ro'ino tov v'shominet kolosu, they can see him. And they can hear him, but he can't see them. So now the victim, the original victim, says to him, now that we're all alone, I want to be able to hear all of your arguments. So say over all the details to me in private. So he repeats it. And here again, in lieu of actual hatra'ah, to make it very clear that the person is in full possession of his senses, and he's doing this very much on purpose. So the other guy says to him, I don't understand what you're saying. Is this stupid? So im chazer ba mutav, obviously, if he says, yeah, you're right, I didn't mean it, so then, we're not going to be able to kill him. But if he says, no, on the contrary, kachi chovatenu, the kachi afelanu. So then the Edim that are hiding out there in the other room, Edim sheshomim mibachutz, mivino to lebetin v'soklino to, which brings us to a statement of our very committed and fully awake and conscious and actually aware of what he's doing, General Sir Richard. So this was the Mishnah that we said, mentioned earlier that we thought was actually referring to a different case and it was going against Rabbi Shimon because it says Hamidiach. Is talking about the city. Zeh Omer Nelech v'Na'avod Avodat Kochavim, as we explained it before, that's talking about the Ir HaNidachah. Then we had these other cases of Skila. One of them was a Mechashev. Okay, so a Mechashev, when it talks about somebody who does Kishuv, it means that he does something, not that he simply does illusions, which are, you know, like a magic show of some kind. It looks like he's doing something. That's called ochezet einayim. That is not called actually doing kishuv. So the only chiyuv of the bechashev for skila is if he's actually ose maaseh. Then he's chayev. If he doesn't do an act, it's just ochezet einayim. So what he does is he actually just gives people an illusion that something is happening. So, again, the question precisely, what this is talking about, ochezinayim, does it mean an optical delusion, so some type of optical illusion, or does it mean actually sleight of hands? I mean, we talked about this a little bit when we had it initially in the Mishnah. I mean, the Rambam says beferish that ochez aseinayim, it does not mean that he, you know, is a mentalist and he gets you to believe something, and it's that sense of illusion. At least not only that, but even if he does fast hand movements and so on, he makes it look like he's doing something, that is also considered to be a lav, but it's not considered to be one of the niskalim. Well, we spoke about Ramesh's Tshuva before, about whether he holds that it's mamash asur. I mentioned to you that Rav Avadya Yosef holds that it's asur even when it's clearly, openly, nothing but achizat seinayim or sleight of hands. Okay, you know, it's machlokas haposkin. Rabbi Akiva omer mishum Rabbi Yoshua. Well, you know, you could easily have a situation where you have two people that are, you know, doing a magic show, and both of them are doing the same magic. This is like classic, where you want to get all these cucumbers collected from a whole field by waving your hand, you know. So this is a great way to get your dishes done with a little umbrella or, you know, something like that. So these people, in those days, they weren't taking care of the kitchens, they were taking care of the cucumbers, but it's the same idea. So two people are doing the same thing, but one of them actually does this lakita, but he's pater because he's doing it achizas in ayin, and the other one is chayav skila, because oseh maaseh chayav, and ochezet in ayin is pater. So basically, it looks like they're doing the same thing, but it's a completely different act in terms of the Torah's definition of the chayav skila. Omri b'yudom rav, as we mentioned before, the beginning over here of this Mishnah, it talks about hadacha, it's not just talking about us in the sense of two people or 10 people. It's talking about people that are being mediach an ear hanidacha. So the point is not over, not about the difference between one and many. It's about whether it's a person or whether it's the city. So then it would be for rov of the city that would give him the din of a mediach. Now, the Mishnah says a mechashif is somebody who actually does the kishuf, and the other is just an ochez inayim is chayv on a lav. So what's the book? And where do we see that a mechashif is chayv specifically is chayv skila that we're saying? Tan Rabbana. Well, first of all, when it says mechashifa lo techayeh, so that idea that mechashifa is really not only a witch, even though it uses the feminine here, specifically machashefa. It's a little strange. I mean, why only witches? What's wrong with wizards? Truth is, echad ha'ish ve'echad ha'isha, the reason that Torah uses machashefa is because that's like the common kind of thing, you know? They were burning witches at the stake until recently, but not wizards. So, like, the women were the main focus of all of this magic nonsense, and because of that, Torah uses what is the norm. So, unbelievably, people until very recently actually burned witches at the stake, all right? They're doing this kishuf, you know? I guess they didn't know about the chiyuv skila. They thought you're maybe witches or bat kohanes. I don't know what they thought. But anyway, so how exactly is it that they're are the ones that are mitzuyot bikshafim? It's mostly a woman's kind of thing. And what is the chiyuv of misa? That, look, it says in the poskir mechashefa lo techayeh. Now that word, techayeh, actually is, we have exactly the same din in terms of the way the Torah tells us to destroy. When we come into Eretz Yisrael, we're supposed to wipe out the amim that are there. And it says over there specifically that it was Dafka when Klal Yisrael went to war, at least with Sichon Va'og, it says Ve'akel Yisrael lefi chorev. So lefi chorev means that there's a chiyuv of sayiv. So ma'ala halam b'sayiv, afkan b'sayiv. So it seems to be saying that the chiyuv on kishuv is Saif, whereas Rabbi Akiva Omer, no, Nemar kan b'chashifa lo techayeh, and Nemar lahalan, take a look on Har Sinai. So what did we learn in last week's parasha? Im behema im ish lo yichyeh. Okay, and it's exactly those words. B'chashifa lo techayeh. So it says over here, lo yichyeh. And what does it say is supposed to be done to such a person who would come up to Har Sinai be'isr, kisako yisake lo yaro yare, which is the mitzvah of skila. So that means that malahalan beskila, so just like an Har Sinai lo yichye meant to die through skila, afkan beskila, so in terms of the machashefa would be beskila. Omar Rabbi Yossi, okay, look here, Rabbi Akiva. So we've got two very different approaches. Now, let's think about this a little bit, and you will soon see that I make much more sense, okay? Because ani danti lo techayeh mi lo techayeh. Okay, now, the pasuk that I learned it from, which was lo techayeh kol neshama, it's exactly word for word what it says over here. Mechashefa lo techayeh. Now, you went, and you want to learn it from Har Sinai. So you learned lo techayeh from the words lo yichyeh. Now, if you've got a perfect match, like my match, why in the world would you think to learn it from a sort of approximate match of trying to get lo techayeh to mean the same thing of lo yichyeh? So I think, you know, I make more sense. You ready to give up? Amar lo Rabbi Akiva, well, let me put forward my argument. I learned out a din that was meant dafka from Yisrael on Yisrael, right? So we talked about over there on Har Sinai, we were talking about the message to Klal Yisrael. Now, I mean, after all, we only find a chiyuv of skila, or the arba mises peslin, we only find that by Yisrael, right? And by the umais, we find that they all always get the same misa of saif. So I think I make more sense because I'm learning at least the din of sokol yisakelo yaro yireh, which applied to Bnei Yisrael, to the din over here, v'chashifa lo techayeh, which is meant to apply to Bnei Yisrael. It's not talking to the umays. And the fact is that indeed the mitzvah of skila is only for Yisrael, because Riba Behema Katuv Mitot Arbe, we find Arba Mitot Beitin, is specifically in terms of Bnei Yisrael. Now, for you to compare the Lo Techayeh to the Lo Techayeh Kol Neshama, which is referring to Goyim, but there's no concept of Skila by Goyim. So, if you're learning the Din of Machashifa of Yisrael from Ovdei Kochavim, well, yeah, so what do you expect? Obviously, it's going to be saif because there's nothing else to learn. I mean, lo riba na katuv, ela mita achat. So makes much more sense to say what I said. Let's try to find a place where the Torah is telling me what the din would be of a Ben Yisrael if we're going to be applying it to a Ben Yisrael. Ben Azai, he says, I don't need all of these gzer shavas. It's smichus, because these two psukim are said one immediately after the other. Mechashefa lo techayeh, kol shochevi meima yomot yumat. So the reason that the Torah put the two psukim right next to each other, even though they don't seem to have anything to do with each other, that's to tell me exactly the halacha. Just like the mashochevi meima is beskila, that we know not from here, but we know it says the meim bom by the shochevi meima, and that we learn in Kedoshim, right? So, after Mechashev, here, here it's not talking about the death, but so what? It's comparing Mechashev to Shochevim Behema, therefore it's Beskila. Omer lo Rabbi Yehuda, what? Mivtchim ipnei shesamchu inyan lo notzi leze Beskila? So we see from the language of Rabbi Yehuda that Rabbi Yehuda did not hold of Smuchim, which we know is the klal that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of Smuchim. He's only Doresh Smuchim in Devorim, as we know. But this, in fact, is the mocker of that halacha, that Rabbi Yehuda is not Doresh Smuchim. And therefore, he makes fun of this. What? just because two psukim are next to each other, so therefore we should take a guy out and stone him, or take a woman out and stone her. I mean, that's ridiculous. Tosfos says that language is the mocker for saying that he doesn't hold a smuchim at all, because he makes fun of the fact that you're relying on smuchim. Ella, you want to know how we know that a mechashefa is beskila? Look, Ovidoni, we have a whole bunch of different kind of magical type of nonsense. Doresh al amesim, Ovidoni, mechashefa. Well, Ovidoni are actually a classic called of Ashaya Bichlal, v'yatzah min haklal alameh, lo lameh al atzmo yatzah, ela lameh al kol haklal kulo yatzah, and even though Gavi is hiding behind some name over here, but we know that this was one of the Gavi Klolim, and therefore, if you think about it, Ovin Yedoni are just normal Mechashvim. I mean, they're just doing all of this kind of magical stuff, right? And for some reason, the Torah specifies, when it comes to Ovin Yedoni, they are Chayev Skila, as it says, Beferish, and it uses a lotion of to mayhem bum over there, and says that they should be stoned. Okay, so that teaches us that Loma Yatsu, why did they merit a special consideration? So it is the Lamed ala klal kulo, that just like Ov and Yedoni, the Farish are Beskila, so too, any types of these Bechashvim are Beskila. So one second. According to Rabbi Yehuda, why is this true? He doesn't like Ben Asai, but what he says doesn't make sense, because Ov and Yedoni are two separate Yisurim, right? So why don't we view it as Shnei Ketuvim Abayim Ke'achad? So Levi Ov Yedoni Shnei Ketuvim Abayim Ke'achad. I thought we have a rule that where you have two different Yisurim and they both have the same din, to come teach you the same din. So it can't be that they're both coming to teach you the same din, because then the Torah should use only one of them. So if this was a classic that is Yotzim and Aklal Lamed, then why is it both Ov and Yedoni teaching the same halacha? Amar Rebbe Sarya, you're right. Ada Amra, this actually implies that Rebbe Yehuda is the one. Remember the Gemara always, when we talk about so the Gemara will always say, well, what about according to the Mandi Omer who says Malamdim? Who is that Mandi Omer? That's Rabbi Yehuda based on this Gemara. All over Shas, when we have, what about the Mandi Omer who says Shnei Ketuvim Abayim Ke'achad Malamdim? That, in fact, Ada Amrat teaches us that it's Rabbi Yehuda who holds Shnei Ketuvim Abayim Ke'achad are Malamdim. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Why this word kishafim? Why do we call it kishuf? Well, it's actually an acronym. Makhishin pamalya shamala. So that's the chof shin pei mem. Makhishin pamalya shamala. So in other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not gezer that this person should die, let's say. Right? They're making these voodoo dolls and they're going to kill this guy. Okay, so that is as if they're going out to, you know, absolutely cancel what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. That's the horrible nature of it. What do they think? They're using supernatural. What is supernatural? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's in charge of the world, right? They're going out as if they're in charge. Now, problem is that how is it possible to be Makrish Bamaya Shamama? Doesn't it say in the Torah, Ein od milvado? And Rabbi Chanina Dafka says, Ein od milvado means afilu ledvar kshafim. You should not believe that kishuf could be makishuf b'mayah shamala. That's the exact opposite of what you said before by Rabbi Yochanan. And it actually happened to my said that it was a heat. It's very common at the way that these witches do their stuff. You know, as they go and they take a little bit of dirt from underneath a person who stepped on the dirt. They collect that dirt that still has the aura of the person on him, you know, and they do their stuff on it. And then the guy dies. And And this woman is clearly trying to get Rabbi Hanina. So he says to her, go right ahead. Go see what you can do, you idiot. Imistayad. If you're able to get some dirt, go right ahead. Zileavi, do whatever you want. Ein od milvadoktiv. There isn't any way to go against HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gezeiros. Go right ahead. If you end up killing me, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted me dead. So what? But then I thought Rabbi Yochanan said that that's the whole point. That lama nikra shvan kshafim is because makhishim and mikhashvim. Makhishim b'mar yashar mara. Yeah, oh, that's true. But, you know, look, Rabbi Hanina is talking about a much more ideal situation. He has a tremendous chus. For Rabbi Hanina, then there's no such thing as something that isn't miyuchad bin hashemayim, because he's zoche to complete hashgacha. But, you know, as Rambam explains, people who are not roi to that darga, they don't have a mind that is actually masig, that einod milvado, but they're aware at every moment that they walk around that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the mocker of all things. No. So fine. So then it's not our kasha, the famaya shamala, it's just that you're not roi to be within the realm of that shmira. Whereas Rabbi Hanina was saying, but this is the reality. If you live in a world that is run by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you can only laugh at this nonsense. Omer Baibu Bar Nagri, Omer Bchia Bar Abba. You know, you take a look at the early mentions of Mechashvim, which we find in Mitzrayim. So sometimes, so it says over there that when, you know, Paro calls on his Mechashvim, that they should do it. So it says they did it also bilatehem. So balat is not the same thing as bilahatehem. And sometimes it uses the word balat, and then other times it uses the word belahat. So is there a difference between them? Yes, there certainly is. When the Torah uses the word belatehem, so balat is like the word vayavo balat. He came secretly and nobody should know. That's what balat means. So that means he's doing something that other people can't see what's being done. So that's a reference to things that are ma'aseh shedim. You can't see shedim, but these things are happening through the agency of a shade. Whereas bilahat is not utilizing shedim. That's actually kshafim, because we see that in Gan Eden, which says over there, v'chein omer, v'eit lahat acherav ha-mitapechet. So the lahat acherav ha-mitapechet is referring to this sword that is actually swooshing back and forth over there on the path into Gan Eden, and it's doing this on its own. It's not that there's shadim that are causing it to turn. So things that are empowered on their own, we call that to be like lahatayim. Obviously, it doesn't mean that it's done with kishuv, but it looks like magical. And how would you know the difference between something that is being done belahat or something that is done belat? Well, if the guy needs a particular type of wand, you know, and he can't use another guy's wand, I mean, this is terrible. I mean, so you've got to go try out all those wands before you find the right wand. I mean, that's clearly a sign that if he's copied Amon, if it's got to be his own wand, then he must be using a shade. If he doesn't need a particular thing to do what he's doing with, that's a sign that he's not dependent on any other thing, and that would be done through kishuv. Amrabai, you should know that Hilchot Kshafim are Kilchot Shabbat. We know that on Shabbos we have things that you chayav skila. We have things that you're not supposed to do, but if you do them, you're potter, you're not chayav skila. Some things are, in some circumstances, they're mutter, even l'chatchila. So the same thing is true over here. Let me show you what I mean. It's somebody who does a maisa of kshafim. Okay, so we said before, if he really does a maisa of kshafim, then that is chayav. That's the equivalent of Hilchot Shabbos, Yeshvan Beskiwa. If he does achizas einayim, so we said, okay, so he's over in a lav, but is not Chayv Skila. So that's the equivalent on Shabbos of the Potter Avol Oser. What would be the case where you're Mutter L'chatchila? Well, that would be doing things that look like you're out to do magic. And we had this story before of Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Hoshaya. They had this Seder Erev Shabbos where they were Isaac in the Sefer HaYetzira, and they would end up Mivrilahu. But Mivrilahu means they didn't set out to do this. They just, when they were working out the sugya, and they Rashi understands this to be a reference to utilizing shemais through the Sefer HaYetzira. Others disagree very much with Rashi. It's not about utilizing the shemais Hashem. But whatever it means is that they were working on the sugya, and then Mibrilu Iglitli Tata. It's not that they made it. It's just that it would pop into existence. So it isn't really Kishuf at all. So really, according to Rashi, not Kishuf, because it's utilizing Shemais of Kedeshim, and therefore it's obviously not Makhishim from Ayashamala. And according to others, it's not Kishuf because it's part of the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself utilized language to be able to create the world. Anyway, they ended up with this meat for their cholent, the Achlelu, as we said before. Omer of Ashi. I saw some great tricks, you know. Karna's father, he would sneeze, and he would end up being able to pull out, like, all of these handkerchiefs, you know, or sheets out of his nose. You've all seen that trick, right? That's one of the famous ones. But he was an actual Kishuv. But Yom Lachartumim El Paro. So how do you explain the fact that the Chartumim recognized that when it came to one of the Marcus, all of a sudden they say, oh, this is Etzba Elohimi. Why is Kinim more the Etzba Elohim than anything else? Omar Rabbi Elazar, you see from here, She'en Hashed Yechol Livrod Bria Pachot Mikiseora. Since these Kinim are very small, they're less than the size of a Seora, so they couldn't use their Shedim to get these Kinim here. So what else could they do? Rav Papa says, what are you talking about? Elohim, I swear. I feel like a gamla nami lamatsi. What does it have to do with the size? They can't create anything. What do you mean create? They don't do anything. All they do is they gather them together. That they're able to do. So michnafle, v'ala michnafle. They cannot have impact on things that are that small, because things that are that small are not going to be able to get there. I mean, how are they going to get them to come to a different location if it's far away? So there's no way that they can gather kinim. Amalei Rab, the Rabbi Chia, you know, I once saw an amazing show. This is also a classic magic show stuff. So I saw a guy. See this Arab guy. He takes this big sword and he chops up his camel, you know? And then he takes out a little bell, ding, ding, and the camel stands up and it's whole. I could have sworn I saw him put that sword straight through that camel and the camel was perfectly okay afterwards. Sandra Pietarov, really now? And tell me, did you notice on the ground where this was done, it's full of blood and it's full of stomach contents and what a mess. There ain't nothing there, I guarantee you. The whole thing was just achisat einayim. So don't be so impressed. Zairi once came to Alexandria. Now, Alexandria, even in those days, was also like Mitzrayim, was filled with all different types of kishuv. And Zairi needed to buy a donkey. So he went ahead and he bought a donkey. Little did he know that this may look like a donkey, sound like a donkey, but it isn't a donkey. It was all just done with this kishuv. Okay. So anyway, so he gives his money, buys this donkey, and now he wants to give a drink of water to his donkey. Now, the thing is that when you expose anything that was done with kishuv to water, to fresh water, the kishuv melts away. So anyway, he starts giving his donkey a drink, and that, of course, made the magic disappear, Bashar, and he sees that his donkey was just bored of a certain type of wood. Kam kam lo diskinita. So anyway, he goes back to the guy who sold him the donkey. He said, hey, that was no donkey you sold me. I want my money back. I want a real donkey. So they said to him, you know, I'll tell you, if you'd be anybody else, I would say, you're so stupid, you don't deserve to get money back. No normal human being does what you did. You buy something in Alexandria without checking it out first, no due diligence, no refunds. But all right, you're a Talmud Chacham, you know, what can we do? I understand you don't know much about this stuff. But if you wouldn't have been Zeiri, lo ave madrina luck, we wouldn't have given your money back. There's somebody so stupid who buys stuff here in Alexandria without putting it through the old water test? Yanai Iklo Shpiz, a guy, this is apparently not Reb Yanai, as Rashi says, although some do have a gears of Reb Yanai, but this guy was not such a good person, as we'll see. Anyway, so he goes into this bread and breakfast, and he orders a drink. So give me some water. So they don't give him water, they give him shatita. Shatita is where they mix some type of flour into the water. And as he's being served, he notices that the waitress looks like Snape at a kiddish game. I mean, he's moving his lips the whole time, moving his lips. I'm very suspicious. So he decides something funny is going on. So he takes this shatita and he pours a little bit on the ground, and it all turns into these scorpions. So he was supposed to be drinking this stuff, but he noticed that really not a good idea to drink it. Anyway, so he pours it out. He pretends that he drank it, and then he tells the innkeeper, okay, that was delicious, you know. Actually, as you see, I had no trouble drinking your stuff. How about you coming along and drinking some of my stuff? So anyway, he gives the waitress a drink, and she turns into a donkey. And so he jumps on the donkey and says, giddy up. So now he's riding the innkeeper, the waitress, he's riding the innkeeper. Anyway, so he's riding her, and he gets to Machane Yehuda. Now, in Machane Yehuda, she's got a friend, and the friend was able to recognize her, was also a witch, of course, and she has this spell that undoes his spell. And there he is, riding this woman in the middle of the marketplace. It was a bit embarrassing. So Chazi Darochi V'Koya Itata B'Shuka. So he's riding this girl, giddy up. They put it into Playboy, but it didn't give his reputation any good at all. Now, we also have the story of the Tzvardea in Mitzrayim. It says, V'ta'ala Tzvardea. It says it's like one Tzvardea. And it covered the whole Eretz Mitzrayim. So how did that happen? So Reb Elazar says, well, it was actually a Tzvardea Achas, and then Hishritza U'milakol Eretz Mitzrayim. Then that Tzvardea got these spawned millions of these tadpoles and filled up the whole country. Actually, it's Machlokas Tanaim. Rabbi Akiva says it was one Tzvardea, and that one Tzvardea was Mil'a Kol Eretz Mitzrayim. So apparently it was Mashritz. Amalor Elazar ben Azariah. You know, Akiva, you should stay out of these kind of sugyas. You don't know anything about it. Malacha Eitzel Haggadah. Now, what are you trying to give us? Your guesses about Haggadah. Why don't you go learn what you know about, you know? Kalei midabrotecha v'leichetz onegayim v'alais. You should go to some serious sugyas over here that can utilize your Rabbi Akiva brain. This is not for you. What really happened is that there was one Tzvardea, but it whistled to all of the other Tzvardeim in the world, and they came running into Eretz Mitzrayim. So, fine. Okay, I mean, the question is, you know, what's the implications of this? All right, I mean, the different mafreshim give different explanations, but it obviously has something to do with the issue that we had before, because the mechashvim, in being able to duplicate this, if it would have been in terms of Hashratza, would not have been able to duplicate it. That's the point. Because we said before that they don't have any kind of control over something that is poches, from the size of just like, one barleycorn. So over here, it must be, therefore, these tiny little sharkalahim, that they were able to be collected, and that they were able to do because they were big already. That would be a difference in it. Okay, I think we should maybe wait for the next sugya till tomorrow morning. And meanwhile, I will wish you, Hine El Yeshua Si, Eftach, V'lo Efchad, wishing you a wonderful week, a wonderful Hakhana for Rosh Chodesh that starts this week, and a Rosh Chodesh Adar, and many, many Besurot Tovot, Bezrat Hashem. I'm looking forward to seeing you in the morning. Shavua Tov.